right, we're back, folks. Michael Herzog, second hour of the American Awakening. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Call in with a question, comment. Tell me if you like Eric, if you hate Eric, if you'd like to hear from him again, like to have him up as a guest. Tell me never to see him again. I've never seen him, but I do talk to him. Anyway, as I said, phone lines are open, second hour. And let's go into Kristen Breitweiser, one of the four 9/11 widows instrumental in forcing the government to form the 9/11 Commission to investigate the 2001 attacks. She pointed out that Mueller and other FBI officials had purposely tried to keep any incriminating information specifically surrounding the Saudis out of the inquiry's investigative hands. Think about that for a minute. Trump just made a deal, $110 billion deal, defense deal with the Saudis, selling him weapons, bombs, planes. The Saudis, 19 hijackers with box cutters from Saudi Arabia. Remember that, folks? Yet Mueller purposely tried to keep any incriminating information specifically surrounding the Saudis out of the inquiry's investigative hands. This is the guy that what's his name, Mike? Bernstein? Rod Rosenstein. Wasn't it Rosenheimer? Something like that. I don't know. I don't remember. I've been out of the loop, folks. Anyway. So, to repeat, there was a concerted effort by the FBI and the Bush administration to keep incriminating Saudi evidence out of the inquiry's investigation. And for the exception of the 29 full pages, they succeeded in their effort. So, what's the conclusion to this? Well, rather than being above the fray, Mueller is an authoritarian and water carrier for the status quo. Remember I said Robert Mueller, fixer, choker. He's the water carrier for the status quo and the powers that be, the deep state. And as Colleen Raleigh puts it, it seems clear that based on his history and close partnership with James Comey, called one of the closest relationships the top ranks of the Justice Departments have ever seen, Mueller was chosen as special counsel not because he has integrity, but because he will do what the powerful want him to do. Mueller didn't speak the truth about a war he knew to be unjustified. He didn't speak out against torture. He didn't speak out against unconstitutional surveillance. And he didn't tell the truth about 9/11. Guess what? He is just their man. What's the premise of this show? Criminals investigating criminals. So, let's shift gears. Let's go to James Comey for a moment. Okay? That former FBI director, Comey, he made a major mistake at his hearing at the Senate Intelligence Committee when he revealed that he had deliberately leaked a memorandum of a conversation with the president because he thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel. He thought it might prompt it. He knew who the special counsel would be. Him and the special counsel would be good buddies, or they already are. Okay, so he deliberately leaked it. Now, aside from the legal jeopardy that Comey could face, but probably won't, because remember, the premise of this show, criminals investigating criminals, as a result of having leaked a government document as a private citizen, Comey has now undermined Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation by revealing it to be a deliberate political setup. Now, early in the hearing, Comey had praised the Special Counsel as a critical tool to discover the truth about Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. Understanding what efforts there were or are by the Russian government to influence our government is a critical part of the FBI's mission. And you've got the right person in Bob Mueller to lead it, he said. But later, Comey said that he had hoped to prompt the appointment of a special counsel for reasons that had nothing to do with Russia. Comey leaked his memo, he said, so that he could corroborate claims by aides that he told them Trump had asked for his loyalty. Now, the Times reported those leaked claims on May 11th, and Trump denied them the following day, accusing Comey of leaking to the press. And 3 days later, Comey told the Senate he remembered the memo and he leaked it. He knew Trump was not under investigation for ties to Russia, a fact he refused to divulge publicly, but pushed for a special counsel to be appointed because he wanted to take revenge on the president He leaked through Columbia Law School professor Daniel Richman, who approached the New York Times. It was a left-wing trifecta: a former government bureaucrat, an Ivy League academic, and a liberal mainstream outlet. Moreover, this special counsel that was appointed was, coincidentally, one of Comey's longtime associates and good buddies. Backslapping boys in the club, folks. The FBI director when Comey was the deputy attorney general. And for Mueller to be brought in to investigate the behavior of a guy who sacked Comey seems a conflict of interest, wrote Carl M. Cannon of Real Clear Politics. These two guys, working in tandem, have a track record of bureaucratic infighting with another Republican White House as their shared adversary that belies their reputation for being above political intrigue. Comey did not have to tell the Senate Intelligence Committee that he had leaked his memo to the press to make sure a special counsel was appointed. He could have just told the hearing that he wanted to set the record straight. That might have led to questions about why he had not waited to testify before revealing the memo, but he could have said he was worried about Trump exerting executive privilege to block it. Instead, Comey blurted out the truth. He had seen a chance to make the political case for a special counsel through the power of the mainstream media. And suddenly, the motive behind Comey's bizarre pattern of behavior over the past year is obvious. Comey went along with former Attorney General Loretta Lynch's request to hide the criminal investigation into Hillary Clinton and later made an extraordinary recommendation not to prosecute her because he did not want the public to blame him or the FBI for destroying her election prospects. When she deemed certain to win in late October of 2016, he feared that the Republicans might blame him for ensuring her victory, and so he reopened the Clinton investigation in a public way. He probably never imagined that she would lose. He simply wanted to be able to avoid the blame for her win. Then, once the impossible happened, Comey was scapegoated by the media and the Democratic Party for Clinton's loss. So he made sure that President Trump was dogged by false allegations and later set in motion a process that made Trump's removal from office possible, setting himself up as the hero. At all times, he justified his actions to himself and to the public by claiming that he was protecting the integrity of the FBI, which he was in fact destroying. Comey clearly wanted credit for the appointment of the special counsel, but his admission that he manipulated the media and the evidence to win a political fight with Trump undermines the justification for that appointment. Mueller was not appointed to find the truth about Russia, but to bring down the Trump presidency. Nothing Mueller does can be taken at face value any longer. And every action he takes will be clouded by political suspicion. This guy should be dismissed and replaced by an independent bipartisan commission. Otherwise, the truth will never be known or trusted. And this, shout out to Patton, Arkansas, by the way. James Comey admits to taking official government documents home and then giving them to the New York Times. He directly contradicted his May 3rd, 2017, under oath testimony. How come these people aren't prosecuted? How come they don't go down? How come they're not behind bars? Because the premise of this show is criminals investigating criminals. They're all in the big club, and we're not in it. He publicly conspires with that stooge of a special counsel, Mueller, to stage manage his testimony. They get behind closed doors and they script it out. He refused to tell Americans that their president was not colluding with the Russians. He coordinated his public language with Attorney General Lynch to please Clinton, protect that criminal, and fix the 2016 election. And just after the hearing, is reported to have been offered a $10 million advance payoff from a New York Times publisher for a book on Trump. He's getting paid for his criminality, folks. Is that how you make it to the top in this country? I always thought growing up, actually when I first went into the workforce and as time went on, I aspired to be a professional. What does it mean to be a professional? Is this what it means to be a professional? A professional what? A a professional fixer, choker, a professional criminal? Is that how you make the millions? Evidently. A $10 million advance from a New York publisher for a book on Donald Trump. The Senate committee, almost to a man and woman, tried to aid Comey's lie-filled anti-Republic testimony against Trump. Only Senators Risch, Cornyn, and Rubio did the enormously easy job of demonstrating that Comey is nothing but a lying two-bit Clinton whore. A good high school debater would have had no problem doing the same. Mr. Trump, God love you for what you've done and are trying to do to resuscitate the Republic. We need more jobs, a better stock market, no unnecessary wars, the end of government-mandated multiculturalism and diversity, rebuilt infrastructure, elimination of illegal aliens and street gangs, a border wall, lower taxes, the repeal of hate speech laws, fairer trade, a lengthy ban on immigration, an end to abortion, and minimal federal regulations. All of those things are indispensable. But more urgently important than all of those needs, Mr. Trump, is for Americans to see you and Attorney General Sessions vigorously use and now unenforced law to figuratively draw a vast effusion of blood from the utterly lawless American elite. Both of you already have in your possessions the basics for in the indictments of James Comey for perjury, and he and all FBI officials who conspired with him to support the Clinton campaign. All three of the Clintons, both of the Obamas and Loretta Lynch, the Clinton Foundation, its leadership team, some of its contributors, and all of the State Department and other national government officials who willingly aided the foundation while Clinton was Secretary of State. Oh, and let us not leave out John Podesta and his DNC leadership team, Eric Holder and all those DOJ officials involved in Fast and Furious, Lois Lerner and the IRS officials who persecuted the conservatives, all the leakers of classified information, most especially serving and former senior U.S. intelligence community officials. George Soros and all the U.S. citizen billionaire big shots who fund the violence of the Democratic demonstrators. All of the Democratic operatives who have rigged voter lists and otherwise assisted the dead and illegal aliens to vote. And let us not leave out all of those mayors, the governors, the judges, the police chiefs, the ministers, the priests, the non-government organizations, and university leaders who establish and maintain sanctuary domains. The people who killed DNC employee Seth Rich. Imran Awan, maybe? Not sure about that. We'll see how it plays out. Unless the criminals succeed again in defending the criminals. As well as those responsible for the long list of murders of people who crossed the Clintons. You must, President Trump and Judge Sessions, move quickly on the issue of enforcing the law against the bipartisan U.S. political elite and incarcerating those who are convicted. No pardons, no plea bargains, no probation, no omissions. All the other improvements for the Republic aspired to by the Trump administration are important, even essential, but none is as important than beginning to enforce the law against the gangster-dominated American elite. Legally draw their blood, gentlemen, or they will reverse whatever advances you accomplish for the Republic when they rig the next election and defeat you. That result will likely bring on a civil war. And recall, Mr. Trump and Judge Sessions, that you are defenders of the Republic and that your oaths of office and the Constitution require you to make sure that all of the laws are enforced. The citizenry demands no more that you do your duty. And if you fail to do so, you leave Americans only one option. Their legitimate means of eliminating the gangster elite when the law fails or is not applied is provided by our founders and the First and Second Amendments they bequeathed to their posterity. After all is said and done, Mr. President and Judge Sessions, if you fail to do your constitutional duty, or are prevented from doing it, the gangster elite will quickly come to understand why the Lord allowed men the ingenuity and the skill to create the AR-15. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. I don't know about you folks, but I am so sick of watching this time and time and time and time again. These mock investigations, trying to drum up some kind of non-existent evidence against the President of the United States for, quote, Russian collusion, and the head prosecutor of this, or the head investigator of this, has so many skeletons in his closet that it might as well be a Halloween festival. Yet he's the guy, Rod Rosenstein, that's the guy that hired him. Have to investigate that guy as well. And the Clintons, why are they not being prosecuted? Why hasn't Donald Trump done anything about that? You know, Bill and Hillary went to his wedding. Does that tell us anything? Have you thought that through? Is it all political rhetoric? Is it? Is he who he says he is? Has he been swallowed up by the swan? Are these questions going through my mind alone? Or are they going through yours as well? And then we have the other criminals, folks. We have the lobbyists. Don't want to let them out. Let me get into this one. Let's see. Give me a second here. Where is it? I'm sorry. Did I leave something out here? Yeah. Okay. Quick excerpt. Former FBI Director Robert Mueller was appointed as special counsel for the sole purpose of investigating possible Russian collusion charges between President Trump's campaign and the Russian government. On the heels of the collusion, Mueller is also looking for the smoking gun for obstruction of justice on the part of Donald Trump, which is the same charge that ultimately brought down the presidency of Richard Nixon. However, sometimes life is ironic, and in a stunning development, WikiLeaks' Julian Assange tweeted a released State Department cable, which clearly and irrefutably proves that then-Secretary of State Hillary Clinton ordered former FBI Director and present Special Counsel Robert Mueller to deliver, get this folks, a sample of the stolen, highly enriched uranium to Russia in 2009. And I'm going to read this WikiLeaks to you. Embassy Moscow is requested to alert, this comes from WikiLeaks, this is one of the leaked by Julian Assange regarding Robert Mueller. Embassy Moscow is requested to alert at the highest appropriate level the Russian Federation that FBI Director Mueller plans to deliver the HEU sample once he arrives to Moscow on September 21st. Post is requested to convey information in paragraph 5 with regard to the chain of custody and to request details on Russian Federation's plan for picking up the material. Embassy is also requested to reconfirm the April 16th understanding from the FSB verbally that we will have no problem with the Russian Ministry of Aviation concerning Mueller's September 21st flight clearance. This guy was involved in that Russian uranium deal. This guy was appointed by Rod, what's his name again? Rosenstein. I don't remember. Bernstein, some kind of Steen. Anyway, this guy appointed to investigate Russian collusion is the same guy that was ordered by Hillary Clinton to go show the sample to the Russians. Is that the epitome of hypocrisy? Okay. Let me get rid of that one. Let me get rid of that one. And let's see. I had another one up here that I wanted to share with you, which is the lobbyist, the other criminals. We'll be back after the break, and I'll have that one for you, folks. Stick around. More to come.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Hey, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas, at The Network. Okay, before I get back into this, I don't want to leave out the lobbyists, you know, the criminals investigating the criminals. They are criminals as well. Let's go to Rob in Illinois. Rob, you're on with Michael. Go ahead. How are you?
Good evening, Michael. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you. I've been following the AWON story with Schultz and the Democrats for months. We've been hearing about this since back in February, and George Webb has been doing his reports. A lot of other broadcasters have been bringing us information about this, and then it's kind of disappeared for a little bit there. The Seth Rich case came up again, and the Awon brothers went in the background, and all of a sudden now this has resurfaced. And, the big explosive part is this guy's about to leave the country, and then they finally go to grab him after all this time.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that, Rob?
My thoughts is the whole thing is just ludicrous, man. I mean, this stuff has been going on. They hired the AWON, the first AWON, back in 2004. That was the first guy that got introduced, and then Wasserman Schultz meets up with him and then starts introducing him to other Congress people in 2005, and he has 80 clients. This whole thing, because then they got his brother,
they got his whole family.
Got the whole family. So it's like a whole ghost payroll thing going on.
Millions, yeah.
Well, they said upwards of $5 million, and then they got all their side businesses, their CIA car lot. They got an import business. There's a whole sorts of things going on with this. It's entangled in, out, left, and right, up and down. And this is going on right in the Congress, and they're talking about Russia. You know what I mean?
I know. It's unbelievable, isn't it? I reported on this, I don't know, 2-3 months ago. And yes, I did a clip with George Webb, and Webb is a little bit questionable to me. I've had people tell me he's an operative, possibly. I know he was the old Mossad, and he's admitted it. So, I have to take what he says with a grain of salt. Some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth I know is true because I've investigated myself. Other stuff is a little bit questionable. But the bottom line is that, yes, this Imran Awan has been running around, and come to find out, and I didn't even know this, just up to last Tuesday, this guy is still working for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Here she is, basically threatening the D.C. chief of police to turn over this laptop that they confiscated, because I'm sure the information on there is extremely damaging, and there's got to be some stuff on there that really raises the hair on the back of her neck, because she looked scared. She looked pissed and scared when I saw that clip, So,
well,
go ahead.
What's funny about that clip is that they're doing some, they're doing a meeting, and she does it right in public, that she had to be desperate to be like putting this guy in a spot in a public meeting. Everyone there was like boggled where she was going with this.
Mm-hmm.
And that police chief was on the spot, because I've watched that video. I watched it twice. And I'm like looking at her. She had the balls on her. She was desperate to get this back.
Well, she was threatening to cut off funding for them. Yeah.
And she was publicly shaming him. Publicly shaming him. And I'm thinking this police chief should have said, hey, why don't you specifically tell me what you're talking about? Because she was talking in generalizations. What if this happened? What if that happened? What would you do then? If that police chief just would have had the balls himself to be like, what specifically are you talking about? Why don't you tell everybody what you're talking about? That would have been great.
Oh, I'd loved it. Yeah. Okay. Anything else you want to add, Rob, before I let you go? Your consensus.
Yeah,
go ahead.
There's a duplicate. There's a coinciding story, because they say they raided. Okay, this is what they said. There's one story. The main story is they raided the house, or they found the hard drives already broken up. This is one story that's going on. That's the hardline story. But there is a separate story floating around that they actually found the hard drives intact, and the Capitol Police had it in custody, and then while in custody, that's when they got smashed up. So there's a parallel story to this. I don't know Mike Rivero. I wrote him, and he actually mentioned on the air, and he kind of backed that up. So I don't know where to find it to confirm it 100%, but there's this story saying they got it, they were intact, in Capitol Police custody, they were smashed up.
Well, you can't ask me to do it, Rob, because I've been out of the loop for over 2 weeks, okay? I'm just back in the saddle tonight, so, but it'd be interesting to see how it plays out.
The last point here is,
quickly,
I don't know if it was Spingola. Deanna Spingola had an interview with a guy who says that Congress, out of professional courtesy, will not investigate each other. I'll leave you with that.
Okay, thanks a lot. We'll go to a break. Coming back after the break, I'll go to Jim in Missouri. Be right back, folks. See you on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Nutramedicals Power C Plus is the greatest important breakthrough in vitamin C technology since Linus Pauling. It is the only neutral pH vitamin C in the world as a calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium ascorbate salt with bioperin, a black pepper extract, to increase absorption by 40%. When you take Power C Plus, it helps to alkalinize all the cells of your body instantly, raise the oxygen level and energetic level of cells, suppress cancer and inflammation in your body, and help you fight infections. Power C Plus also helps to build up the collagen in your body, hyaluronic acid in your joints, and the glycosaminoglycans in your joints, as well as to improve healing of any tissue in your body. Power C Plus is very unique at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, where you can order, or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide. Foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them, and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Before I get back to this and expose a few more criminals, let's go to Jim in Missouri. Jim, you're on with Michael. How you doing? Hello, Jim.
Michael, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead. What's on your mind, buddy?
Okay. Are you familiar with the VIPS report that came out last week?
The which report?
VIPS, Veterans Intelligence Professionals for Sanity.
No, I've been out of the loop for a couple of weeks. I haven't even been in a place where I can get the news. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, basically, this organization is a group of spooks from CIA, FBI, NSA, other groups, and they decided that they were going to do an investigation on this Russia hack.
Okay.
What they found was there was no hack because the information was downloaded in 85 seconds, and that cannot be done over the internet. That could only be done by an inside job. Somebody plugged a thumb drive in and downloaded the information on the DNC.
Okay, so it had to be somebody in the DNC that did it.
Had to be somebody within the DNC, and this is getting, the mainstream is blocking it completely, but this is for real. The guy that actually did the forensics on it, He was a former IBM program manager or something like that. And so it's out. It was an inside deal. It wasn't a Russian hack. And so now all this, all everything that the Senate and the House has done with these new sanctions, it's all based on a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for a special prosecutor to be named, and I'm going to name him. His name is Dr. Edwin Vieira, if you know who that is.
I know who Edwin Vieira is, yes.
And he is chomping at the bit, and he has no fear. He wants to go get it.
I would love to see that happen. And, do you think, you know, now that we know it was downloaded in 85 seconds, okay, I mean, wouldn't that point to somebody that the capabilities to do that, like Imran Awan?
Well, I can't remember the gentleman's name, and I'll be cautious with gentlemen, but one of the DNC workers had thrown away computer equipment that, and I think you might have been talking about it earlier, but he had thrown away some computer equipment, and he had tried to destroy the hard drives, and it just so happens that a Marine, a former Marine, retired, was walking by the dumpster and looked in and saw this computer equipment that said property of the United States. And he pulled it out and took it home and called the FBI.
I remember that. And the FBI came out and picked it up. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And this character threatened the Marine, and the Marine said, hey, FBI, this guy's threatening me. You need to come get this. And they come got it. And I know Michael Rivero talked about this. He said that if, I don't, I can't, if these rotors or something within the inside of the hard disk aren't destroyed, that they can still extrapolate information.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't.
Anyway,
yeah. I'm not an E-type. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, they're trying to keep this out of the public view, and we're trying to get it out into the public view. The VIPS report has to be exposed to the people, and Trump needs to get a special prosecutor. Now, that's in charge. Jeff Sessions is in charge of appointing a special prosecutor. So if he doesn't, then Trump can kick his butt out, because it was very clear. Comey, when he made his presentation on Hillary Clinton stuff, He actually laid out the case. She's got so many Title 18 violations.
Oh, I know.
She should be in jail.
Well, that's right, but that's the premise of my show tonight, is the criminals investigating the criminals, which is part of the problem. And, you know,
well, and that's why I talked to a friend of mine over the weekend, Walter Reddy. I don't know if you've ever heard of Walter.
No.
He's out of Connecticut. He's a good friend of Edwin Vieira, and if you know who Edwin Vieira is, he said, Edwin is chomping at the bit. Okay. And I said, does he have any fear of his life? And he said, no, he's good to go.
Well, let's just hope that happens. Listen, Jim, I've got to let you go. I got another report here that I got to get to, but I appreciate your input. And I spell it out. It's BIT, is that right, the group?
It's Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity.
For Sanity, okay.
EIPS.
Okay, got it. All right, thanks, man. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Okay, no more calls. Mike, I want to get through this. I want to play that clip here in a minute, or a couple minutes. Yeah, the other criminals involved, the lobbyist folks. The Office of the National Drug Control Policy, the ONDCP, met with members of Congress this week to discuss multiple issues when a Republican congressman asked a question that exposed the state's immoral and tyrannical war on drugs in an accidental stroke of logic. Now, Harold Watson, Trey Gowdy III, is a member of the Tea Party movement and the Republican Party and serves as a congressman from South Carolina. He is also the chairman of the Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. During the meeting with the ONDCP this week, Trey Gowdy asked why marijuana was a Schedule I drug, which is scheduled as the worst kind of drug. Schedule I drugs, substances, or chemicals are defined as drugs with no currently accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse, the DEA claims. And given the mountains of evidence showing the beneficial nature of the cannabis plant, the DEA's claims are nothing short of asinine and tyrannical. However, marijuana continues to be categorized as such, paving the way for the police state to lay waste to rights and fill the prisons for profit. Can you say private prisons? When Trey Gowdy asks Richard Baum, the acting director of Trump's ONDCP, why marijuana is a Schedule I, Baum immediately skirts the question. He then digresses into support for Big Pharma's version of synthetic marijuana by saying that the FDA-approved versions of marijuana components can help people. Now, while Trey Gowdy didn't go so far as to call for the legalization of cannabis because it would likely mean political suicide among his staunchy conservative base, his line of questioning set off a conversation that would eventually expose the war on drugs. Cannabis has never killed anyone, ever. That being said, however, cocaine and meth kill thousands every year. Yet, as Baum concedes, the DEA considers them safer than this amazing plant. When Gowdy brings this up, Baum is unable to respond and uncomfortably squirms in his chair, likely knowing the real reason marijuana remains a Schedule I drug, which I'm going to get to in a few minutes. Before I do that, I'm going to have Mike play this clip. But Gowdy then turns over the floor to Gerald Connolly, who continued the accidental expose of the American drug war. "We've put people in jail. It's had huge consequences based on little to no scientific evidence," said Congressman Connolly, who bluntly hit the nail on the head. "The reality of the war on drugs is that it is not based on scientific evidence. Instead, it is based on a dark history of oppression, racism, and political corruption. And in spite of some form of cannabis being legal in some fashion in 29 states and Washington, D.C., the government still violently and with extreme prejudice continues to seek out those who dare possess it. If the CDC calculated the number of deaths inflicted by police while enforcing marijuana laws, that number would certainly be shocking and could even be deemed a risk to public health. Marijuana is indeed dangerous, but only because of what can happen to you if the police catch you with it. Nothing highlights the hypocrisy, the immorality, and sheer idiocy of the drug war quite like marijuana prohibition. Now, here we have a medicine that kills cancer cells, saves the lives of countless epileptic children, heals broken bones, relieves pain, treats PTSD, is not dangerous, and exhibits a variety of incredible benefits. Yet the state will kill you over this. So why are these tyrants keeping it illegal? Well, if you want to know who profits from ruining lives and throwing marijuana uses in cages, we need only to look at who bribes, who the criminals are, also known as the lobbyists, the politicians, to keep the war on drugs alive. Now, I'm going to give you that list, but first I want you to hear this clip. Go ahead, Mike, play it.
Director Baum, in case my mom is watching, I want to be really clear. I'm not advocating for the legalization of marijuana. I want to be very, very clear about that. However, I don't understand why it's a Schedule I. It's certainly not treated as a inherently dangerous substance for which there is no medicinal value. It takes a tractor trailer full of marijuana to even trigger a mandatory minimum under our drug laws. So is there any appetite for researching whether or not it should remain a Schedule I drug?
Congressman, the administration doesn't have a position on that, but I'm happy to dialogue with your office. And let me just briefly say that we strongly support research on medical use of marijuana. And if there are obstacles that we see that prevent good research, we want to address those obstacles. Because if there are component elements of marijuana that could be put through the FDA process and turned into medicines that could help people in this country, we want to do that. So we do think there's some potential, and we support research on the subject.
Well, just so everyone's clear, methamphetamine is scheduled what?
believe it's scheduled. Two. Cocaine is scheduled what?
Also two.
Cocaine base is scheduled what?
Two.
So it is scheduled lower than marijuana. And again, you can schedule something and still not have it scheduled as a one. And I would encourage the powers that be, whoever you need to consult with in the administration, to at least explore whether or not it's scheduled correctly without being perceived as advocating for legalization.
Understood.
With that, Mr. Connolly, I will give you a chance to... I'm reluctant to say whatever you want, but I'm going to give you a chance to, to conclude.
I thank my friend, and I actually want to follow up, if I may, on what you just asked. So the point being made here in some ways, Mr. Baum, is if you, not you personally, if the government, federal government, on this subject, marijuana and how dangerous it is, has no credibility because of the lack of serious empirical work, it threatens our whole drug policy's credibility. And you're seeing this happen on marijuana in the states. They're making decisions. Ms. Norton talked about 8 states, but there are over 25 states that have in some fashion, including my home state of Virginia, liberalized their laws for medical reasons all the way to recreational reasons. I think you'd have to confess to the chairman's point, there was no empirical evidence to justify putting marijuana 50 years ago as a Schedule I drug. Who did that empirical evidence?
Sorry, could you repeat that? Who did what? Who made it Schedule I?
There was no. I am asserting, and yes, you can feel free to try to contradict, there was, in fact, no empirical evidence to justify putting marijuana ahead of the drugs the chairman just listed as a Schedule I drug 50 years ago. And I would, you brought up the need to have empirical research before we start rushing pell-mell to approve it for medical purposes, and I agree with you. But here's the problem. As I said in my opening statement, only one federal entity, NIDA, controls marijuana for legal purposes for experimentation, testing, and the like, research. And NIDA's mission is all about proving the harms of something. They have a priori determined the outcome of research. Nobody thinks NIDA is an objective, neutral place to go to look at the good, the bad, and the indifferent about marijuana. It doesn't have that credibility. So if we're going to do what you suggest, we need to have a different entity with credibility where we're looking at objective evidence and science. And then we can determine, well, where does marijuana work? Mr. Humphreys made the point that there's a more lethal or stronger, more fortified versions of marijuana coming out that concern us. But we put a lot of people in jail, and we've treated this like it's more dangerous than cocaine and the other substances, chairman's, and it's had huge consequences based on very little scientific evidence. I'm not arguing for the legalization either. I agree with my friend from South Carolina. I'm not going there. But neither can I justify the current policy of treating it as the world's most dangerous drug with its classification. You can feel free to respond, and I'm done.
Congressman, I understand the point that you're making. I would love to go with you in your district to talk to police chiefs and sheriffs. I think in reality on the street, police, sheriffs, they don't treat marijuana the way they treat heroin and fentanyl. So I think in practice, there is a prioritization of the most deadly drug threats.
I actually think that's his point, is that law enforcement doesn't, our sentencing scheme does not. Methamphetamine and marijuana are not treated the same from a sentencing standpoint, but yet marijuana is considered to be inherently dangerous with no medicinal value, therefore a Schedule I. And it would just be helpful, again, to Mr. Connolly's point, for us to have some consistency or at least be able to explain why certain drugs are Scheduled I and others are not. And, you know, we can save that for another day. And, again, that's coming from two people that are not advocating for the legalization, just for some common sense in how it's scheduled. On behalf of all the members, I want to thank all of our witnesses for your expertise.
ago, they make it a Schedule One drug. No evidence, okay? Baum says, well, you know, if they can put it through the FDA, meaning control it, make money on it, then yes, it's fine. As long as they can control it, as long as they put it through the FDA, and as long as they can take specific parts out of it, and if it has medical, you know, benefits to somebody, well, it already does, and everybody already knows that. And NIDA controls the research on it, and their mission is to prove the harm. Now, why is this? Who is the criminal here? Criminals investigating criminals, right? Who are the five industries that need you to be locked in a cage for possessing a plant in order to ensure their job security? Well, I'm going to read them off for you. And by the way, I don't smoke marijuana, folks, okay? But I do believe that it is way less harmful than alcohol. Number one, police unions, coming in as the number one contributor to politicians for their votes to lock you in a cage for a plant, are the police themselves. They risk taking massive pay cuts and losing all their expensive militarized toys without a war on drugs. Number two, guess who? Those private prison corporations. Well, there's no surprise here. The corporatist prison lobby is constantly pushing for stricter laws to keep their stream of tax dollars flowing and their slave labor filling up their prisons. Alcohol and beer companies, these giant corporations, hate competition, so why not pay millions to keep a cheaper and far safer alcohol alternative off the market? Number four, pharmaceutical corporations. The hypocrisy of marijuana remaining a Schedule One drug, no medical use whatsoever, seems criminal when considering that pharmaceutical companies reproduce a chemical version of THC that can market and sell it as such. Ever hear of Marinol? Big Pharma simply uses the force of the state to legislate out their competitors. That happens to be nature. Number five, prison guard unions. The prison guard unions are another group so scared of losing their jobs that they would rather see thousands of nonviolent and morally innocent people thrown in cages than to look for another job. Now, what does it say about a society who's resolute in enacting violence against their own fellow humans so they can have a job to go to in the morning? The person who wants to ingest a substance for medical or recreational reasons is not the criminal. However, the person that would kidnap, that would cage, or that would kill someone because they have a different lifestyle is the villain on many fronts. So when does this vicious cycle end? The good news is that the drug war's days are numbered. Evidence of this is everywhere. States are defying the federal government and refusing to lock people in cages for marijuana. A record number of law enforcement personnel are even quitting their jobs and joining the push to end the drug war. Colorado and Washington served as a catalyst for in a seemingly exponential awakening to the government's immoral war. Following suit were Oregon, Washington, D.C., and Alaska, and now Maine, Massachusetts, and Nevada. Medical marijuana initiatives are becoming a constant part of legislative debates nationwide. We've even seen bills that would not only completely legalize marijuana, but deregulate it entirely, just like corn. Although, while the idea of treating an addict with compassion instead of violence is a radical notion in this country, in other countries such as Portugal, its effects have been realized for more than a decade. In 2001, the Portuguese government decriminalized all drugs. And 14 years later, drug use, crime, and overdoses have drastically declined in Portugal, exposing the cruel reality of prohibition. Eventually, more states will adopt this approach, and the drug war tyrants will finally be outnumbered. As more and more states refuse to kidnap and cage marijuana users, the drug war will continue to implode, and we must be resilient in this fight. I'm not promoting this because I smoke marijuana, folks. I'm promoting this because it is the right thing to do. If doing drugs bothers you, don't do drugs. When you transition from holding an opinion to using government violence to enforce your personal preference, you become the bad guy. Please, for all that is good, don't be the bad guy. And as Baum was saying in his testimony, as he shifted back and forth looking like he had a whole set of really bad hemorrhoids while Trey Gowdy was questioning him,
He says, oh, well, you know, if they can put it through the FDA, well, if they can control it, if they can make money on it, well, it's okay. Well, otherwise, no, we can't do that. And who's he speaking for? And then he has the audacity to say, well, I would be happy to go talk to the police. No, why would you want to talk to the police? The police union's coming in as the number one contributor to the politicians for their votes to lock you in a cage for a plant. That's the police themselves. They risk taking massive pay cuts and losing all their expensive militarized toys without the war on drugs. And I will attest to this, folks. You know, last time I was here at the network, I said I drove through a borderline, a border station. You know, one of the things looking for illegal, it's supposedly looking for illegal immigrants. And I was wrong. It wasn't out of Fort Stockton. It was like before I even got into Van Horn, Texas, which is maybe, I don't know, it was 70 miles from the New Mexico border. And as you drive up to this, and I told you this last month, but as you drive up to this, they have all these weird, ominous-looking cameras and things that look like it probably looks through your car and taking pictures of your license plate and this really weird, big, you know, foreboding camera that when it snaps a picture, it snaps it in red, facial recognition, or it's going for your iris or something. I don't know. But as you look in the rearview mirror when you're going through there, you've got this, you know, really nonchalant-looking officer that just happens to stroll out with his drug-sniffing canine dog to sniff your trunk before you go through. They're looking for marijuana. That's what they're looking for. They might be looking for cocaine and you know, heroin too, but they're not even a class one drug. Marijuana is, and it was made so 50 years ago. And why? And who did it? For what purpose and for what reason? And was it the same lobbyists? I'm sure that they knew. And even back in the 50s and 60s, and I've seen clips of this, you know, they advertised on TV as this drug that really was, you know, made you a psycho or something. Couldn't be farther from the truth. Propaganda, folks. Programming. It's been shoved down our throats for years. And you, as an RBN listener, like the commercial says, the wisest of the wise, the most informed radio audience on the planet. And where do you get it? Only one place. Here. And even, well, that other network over there is kind of going by the wayside. Getting really flip-floppy. Getting really weird. Okay? This network continues to be stable and continues to have hosts that do their best, their utmost, to bring truth to you, the listener. And I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for putting up with my absence. I had a sub-host in here for a little over 2 weeks, as you know. I had a couple of choices, but I thought, this guy's got passion. I like his passion, right or wrong. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you same time, same station tomorrow night with Susan Lindauer. She's got something very important to share with all of us. Stay out of trouble. See you same time tomorrow. Good night.
There's nothing left for me. Figure out, I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice, I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right, I probably wouldn't. If I could, 'cause I'm mad as hell, can't bring myself to do what it is you think I should.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.